Bookworms by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 17. The Argument. And just like that, the Christmas season had come and gone, and classes had resumed. Kellen had been given the green light to resume Quidditch practice, much to Oliver Wood's relief. Gryffindor had fallen to fourth place in the Quidditch Cup standings with a depleted roster, and Oliver figured a lineup change was needed. Gryffindor had an upcoming match against Hufflepuff, and to Gryffindor's chagrin, Professor Snape was appointed to be the game's referee. During practice, Oliver took Kellen aside and explained his intended change of tactic.
"Kellen, I need you to start as a seeker against Hufflepuff. I know it's short notice, but desperate times call for desperate measures."
"Are you ready?" he asked.
"I suppose so, Oliver. It's definitely a bit outside my comfort zone, as I just started practicing again a few days ago and haven't really spent any time practicing except as keeper."
Oliver smiled at Kellen. "I believe in you, Kellen. A regular seeker, Ambrose Fulbright, will be out of action for at least a couple of weeks, and you're the only one I feel confident that can fill in without too much of a drop-off. You have a good nose for the golden snitch. Older Gryffindor is counting on you."
Kellen grinned. "I'll do it, Oliver. I appreciate the vote of confidence."
Oliver arched an eyebrow.
"One tiny little detail you should be aware of. Snape is officiating this match, so get that snitch quickly. I don't want this one to drag on any longer than necessary."
Kellen felt sick to his stomach upon hearing that tidbit.
In the meantime, Harry, Ron, and Hermione were still trying to find out what they could about Nicholas Flamel or Roger Bacon. Unfortunately, everything about Flamel led to nothing but dead ends, so Hermione decided to try a different approach and see what she could find out about Bacon. She spent what free time she could in the library, and thankfully, information on Bacon was available in the regular section of the library. She found a couple of old tomes on Bacon and voraciously read every detail she could find on the old alchemist. Late one evening, at about 8:30, she yawned as she flipped through the pages of a dusty old text called On the Wonderful Powers of Art and Nature. She read some interesting yet irrelevant information on his introduction of gunpowder to medieval Europe, but perhaps 2/3 of the way through the tome, she found a most interesting passage.
"Such an object would make gunpowder or flying machines seem like children's toys. If craftable, it could make the poorest peasant richer than 10 kings. If craftable, it could inject a leper carrying 100 boils with renewed energy and vitality. This, of course, is but a taste of the power of the Philosopher's Stone."
"That's it!" Hermione yelped, momentarily forgetting that she was in a library. She stuffed a bookmark between the pages and closed the book.
"Shh!" admonished Madame Pince. Kellen was onto something with this Bacon person, Hermione thought to herself. As the book was not restricted, Hermione was free to check it out without written permission from faculty, so she took the book to the front desk and practically skipped to the Gryffindor common room to show her friends. It was nearly 9 by the time Hermione returned to the Gryffindor common room. Only Harry and Ron were there to greet her.
"You two? Where's Kellen?" she asked.
"He grabbed a shower and he went to bed a few minutes ago," Ron explained. "He's a bit banged up after Quidditch practice."
"That's too bad, because I think I found something he'd be interested in," Hermione replied.
"So you found out something on Flamel?" Harry asked.
"Not exactly," Hermione replied. "Remember when Kellen brought up Bacon the night we got back from Christmas break?"
Harry arched an eyebrow.
"Yeah, what about him?"
Hermione opened up the tome she borrowed from the library.
"Here, read this," she said, pointing at the same passage she'd read in the library earlier.
"Philosopher's Stone?" Harry asked. "I don't get it."
Hermione groaned. "Of course you don't get it." She shook her head in frustration. "One of you needs to wake Kellen up. He can explain it better than I can."
Ron left the common room to get Kellen. A minute later, a very groggy and somewhat grumpy Kellen emerged with Ron in the common room.
"Okay, guys, this better be important," he said with a yawn.
Hermione showed Kellen the passage that she saved.
"Oh, so you took my advice and researched Bacon. Good job," he said sleepily. "To my knowledge, he didn't actually create or discover the stone, but it was certainly the most meaningful project he undertook. He most definitely laid the groundwork for Flamel."
"No, his efforts fell short, but I can say with a high degree of confidence that Flamel picked up where Bacon left off and succeeded where Bacon did not," surmised Hermione. Fluffy surely would be guarding something much more valuable than gunpowder or a flying machine. She then looked at Kellen with an annoyed expression on her face. So let me get this straight, Kellen. I spent hours and hours in the library researching Flamel and Bacon, while Harry and Ron sat and twiddled their thumbs and you were off beating your bladder. Her annoyed expression shifted to one of anger. You could have told me that you already knew that the Philosopher's Stone was Flamel's masterpiece, and saved me the hassle of reading a 1,200-page sleeping pill. She had almost raised her voice to a shout. Even Ron jumped, as Hermione rarely used such a tone. To be fair, I really didn't give much credence to the existence of the stone, Kellen protested. It's a pipe dream, even in the wizarding world. You'll have to bear in mind that On the Wonderful Powers of Art and Nature is officially a muggle book and not magical, so you might want to take the information you read with a grain of salt. Medieval muggle books are as much superstition and legend as they are fact. Surely you of all people would—
Did you actually read the book?
Hermione cut Kellen off curtly. Kellen blushed. Well, no. I'd be such an idiot sometimes, Grimseth, seethed Hermione as she clapped her hands to her forehead. I swear, Robert, I could just punch you right now. Kellen did everything in his power not to laugh.
You know, you're kind of cute when you're flustered, Hermione, he said with a grin. Go ahead, let some of that frustration out.
Bap. Hermione sucked Kellen on the lip, causing it to swell a bit.
Wow, thanks, Kellen said sardonically, nursing his lip. I don't suppose you'll be needing me for the rest of the night, so if you don't mind, I'll be going back to bed. Good night.
He turned around and, without another word, headed back to his dormitory room. Ron glared at Hermione.
Why'd you do that? I was on call for, you know. I think you owe Kellen an apology.
He's pushing my buttons, Ron, sighed Hermione, her cheeks flushed with shame and her eyes filled with tears.
You're right, it was wrong of me, and I promise I will apologize, but it also takes two to argue. He's not blameless either.
Sniffling, she bade Harry and Ron good evening and headed for the girls' dormitory. The next morning, Kellen sat with his cousin Desiree at the Ravenclaw table for breakfast.
Hiya, Cos, Desiree greeted cheerily. She arched an eyebrow. You got a bit of a fat lip there. You mind telling me what happened?
Incident at Quidditch practice, Kellen said, hoping he sounded convincing. He didn't want to tell Desiree that the fat lip was courtesy of Hermione.
Gotcha, Desiree replied.
I'm surprised you're over here this morning. Where's Hermione? At the Gryffindor table, Kellen replied casually.
And it's been a good while since I had breakfast with you at the Ravenclaw table. It's kind of nice, just you and me.
Fair enough, murmured Desiree just before she bit into her waffles. A few moments later, the school owls arrived to deliver post. Imogen had no trouble finding Kellen and had a very special package for him. It was long and wrapped in brown paper.
What's this? Kellen wondered aloud. This kind of looks like a broomstick.
He carefully unwrapped the packaging.
No way, it's a Nimbus 2000.
Got a Nimbus 2000? Desiree asked. That's top of the line.
She smiled at Kellen. So, are you playing against Hufflepuff this coming weekend? Kellen nodded.
Normally I play Keeper, but Fulbright is out for a while, so I'm filling in as Seeker. Wish me luck, Ray.
Good luck, Cos, Desiree replied. Not that you'll likely need it.
I think I will, actually, countered Kellen. Snape's officiating.
Now why in the world is he officiating? Desiree said in disbelief. That's not good news at all for either team.
Kellen shrugged. Beats me, he said. No pun intended.
Class was awkward for Kellen and Hermione that day. Hermione didn't utter a single syllable to Kellen, and Kellen was all too happy to give her all the space she needed. At the end of Transfiguration, Professor McGonagall pulled Kellen aside, as the usually cheerful boy had a glum expression on his face throughout class.
Hey, little dear, she trilled. Is everything all right between you and Miss Granger? You two have hardly spoken a word to each other this morning.
Kellen shook his head.
We had a bit of an argument last night, I'm afraid. Over something stupid, too.
I'm sorry to hear that, the professor replied. Normally her face lights up whenever she's with you. But this morning she had a scowl that could scare a banshee.
I know, Kellen said. And I don't like it when she's upset with me. I'm only trying to give her whatever space she needs.
And sometimes that's all you can do, young man.
Kellen nodded.
I suppose, can you keep a secret?
Professor McGonagall chuckled.
That depends on what kind of secret it is.
Kellen lowered his voice to barely above a whisper.
I'm falling in love with her.
A tear trickled down his cheek. Professor McGonagall's jaw dropped in shock, but then she smiled at Kellen.
You're not quite 12. Those are some very strong feelings for a first-year student, but I suppose I can empathize. She's a terrific young lady.
Kellen sighed.
A while back, she told me she was falling in love with me as well. I wasn't sure how I felt then, but it's clear as day now. I know I should have no business thinking about forever love as a firstie, but I've never felt this way about a girl before. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't think burying the feelings is the answer. His cheeks flashed a deep pink. She gets me, you know, and I get her.
Professor McGonagall nodded.
Just give it time, Mr. Grimsith. She'll come round. Only take it you found your gift for your upcoming match against Hufflepuff.
Kellen's face brightened immediately.
Yeah, the Nimbus 2000. I got that this morning. Thank you so much. I'll put it to good use for sure.
You're welcome, young man, chuckled Professor McGonagall. I heard that Wood is putting in at Seeker as a last-minute substitution. I know you're not training specifically to be a Seeker, but Wood says you're too good to be kept off the field. A jack-of-all-trades, so to speak. I know that wasn't quite what you signed up for. But from what I gather, you're open-minded enough to be inserted at any position as needed.
Thanks again, Professor. I'll need to make my way to my next class. I hope she'll want to talk to me again soon. I miss her.
The rest of the day was quiet and uneventful. Kellen again hung out with Desiree at the Ravenclaw table, which Desiree thought was a little strange, but she didn't ask questions, and enjoyed another quiet meal with her cousin. The next class was potions, and to their mutual shock, Kellen was partnered with Malfoy. To Kellen, it might actually be easier to get Malfoy to talk than Hermione.
Hey, Draco,
Kellen greeted sincerely.
Yeah, Outlander,
Draco replied nonchalantly.
I think it's time we had a little chat,
Kellen said as he plopped some bezoars into a vial.
Maybe to get to know each other a little better.
Malfoy merely shrugged.
Do I frighten you? Kellen asked. It's not a trick question, honest. Just answer it sincerely, please.
Malfoy sighed.
Yes? Are you satisfied?
Kellen shook his head no.
There's no need to be. I'm not out to get you. I never was. And on that note, I have another question.
Make it quick. Malfoy snapped as he shook the mixture.
Does your father intimidate you?
Malfoy blinked.
That, Grimsith, is none of your business.
Kellen shrugged.
Maybe it is and maybe it isn't, but from what I gather, he doesn't go easy on you. I've also heard from some of your fellow serpents that you might be transferring to Durmstrang next term.
Malfoy's eyes narrowed. You're getting your nose in affairs that don't pertain to you. I'd leave well enough alone if I were you.
I'm sorry for prying, but I'm not your enemy, Draco, Kellen insisted, and please don't treat me like one.
Malfoy nodded. Yes, it's true that I'm going to Durmstrang next year, and the thought of me going there scares the mess out of me. I don't know anyone there, and it's so far away from everything I've ever known.
It's no different than the leap of faith I took to come to Hogwarts, Kellen replied. I could have stayed stateside, but I wanted a challenge, and honestly, it was the best decision I've made. I've made friends in several houses, including Slytherin, and I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world.
That's easy for you to say. You've got a ton of friends, Draco countered.
Not really, Kellen replied. I had a hard time making friends in Minnesota. I don't really have all that many here either.
Draco gestured with his hand.
I noticed you and Granger aren't talking much today.
Kellen nodded.
He sort of had a fight last night. It left me nothing short of devastated. It really sucks, dude.
It's too bad. She really likes you, Draco said sincerely. She's not bad for a muggle-born.
She's amazing, Kellen replied. I miss her. I miss that bright smile of hers.
You're a lucky bloke, Draco said. Pansy and Daphne never look at me the way Granger looks at you.
Cool. Pansy and Daphne look at you differently, too.
He gave Kellen a bit of an anguished look. With all due respect, you have no idea how hurtful it is knowing my own housemates, purebred heiresses at that, openly prefer the company of a muggle-born Gryffindor.
I'm not exactly socially adept, Kellen admitted, but I know this much. Daphne and Pansy like me because I let them know they're valued. You don't have to wine and dine them or give them tickets to the Quidditch World Cup or whatever it is you call it. It's the little things they really care about. For instance, I'll spend time with them at breakfast or dinner, and we'll go over classwork together, or sometimes I'll just sit with them in a quiet spot after they've had a bad day and really listen to them. They just want your time and undivided attention, Draco, that's all.
And you also saved their lives, Draco drawled. It's kind of hard for me to top that.
Kellen couldn't help but chuckle a bit.
True. But I think my point still stands. Seriously, you should try it out sometime. Both Daphne and Pansy readily admit you can be a pretty charming guy, Draco. But I promise they'll both look at you in a whole new light if you give some of those suggestions a shot. He sighed. I know we've butted heads ever since the start of term feast, but I really don't think you're a bad kid.
Draco nodded.
Thanks, mate, he whispered. And don't tell anyone I said this, but you could have been a hell of a snake.
Cohen smiled at the rare compliment.
Before they knew it, potions was over.
That went better than expected, Draco. You weren't a half-bad partner, Cohen said,
not completely able to suppress a grin.
You went off bad yourself, Grimseth, Draco replied with a smirk.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.